Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now, at your service. Welcome to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Thanks, Scott, and welcome to you. Thanks for stopping by. We'll be taking a good gardening stroll shortly, but right now, if you have questions, concerns, or comments about your plant materials, whether they're inside or outside, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. I'll share information with you, and some of my information has come from just personal experience. Some has come from college. Some's come from working at the botanical garden. So botanical garden, I spent 4 years in the English woodland garden. And my final year at the botanical garden, I went into the climatron. Because in 1960, when I was in sixth grade in Ellisville Elementary, we went to a field trip in the climatron. And that was the first year it was open. And it was like, wow. So I figured I'd have to work there before I left the botanical garden. This is Saturday morning, and we'll have a discussion about whatever is impacting your yard, whether it be front, back, or side, whether that specialty garden space has really worked out for you, and those houseplants. Hopefully you've got them inside, even though it hasn't been really all that cold yet. Soon it's going to get there, and you could get some damage. And sometimes leaving plants out, even if it's not cold, I mean, they can get kind of sunburnt and things like that because they were in this, let's say, the shade of deciduous trees, and the deciduous trees are losing their leaves, and whoa. And should you be doing this, improving your soil this time of year, especially now when it's this wet, don't do it. You just make a big mess, and it'll be taking a long time for it to recover. And, keep your eye out for bugs and diseases. When Tracy and I were out yesterday, I pointed, wow, here's a caterpillar that was just, crawling out. We were out in St. Charles at the Antique Mall, and it was just crawling right along there. I think that's where it was. Anyway, it was someplace we saw one, and I saw a butterfly, too, and that kind of caught me by surprise. It seems like kind of late for that. But this is your show, and I appreciate you inviting me into your home, car, or wherever you happen to be listening. Another very important player is Drew. He's producing. He answers the phone, pushes all the buttons and everything else. And I'm Mike Miller. I've been hosting the Garden Hotline since 1994. I can come to your home and do landscape consultations if you like. I call them a walk and talk. And you can go to my website, MikeMillerDesigns.com. And on the homepage, there's an email address. But I'm changing my email address. I'm in a transition point where that one is the AT&T email address, which is still functional, but I'm going to have a new one soon, and it's mmillerdesigns22@gmail.com. So got to change some certain things, and that's just kind of how it is. And my phone number's there, too, so you can always reach me by phone. Well, let's get moving. Today's stroll is brought to you by St. Louis Composting, 636-861-3344. As I stepped out of the house, whoa, the gust of wind, and I saw it was gusting pretty hard a couple times during, the evening and night, too. I was sitting there, I forget what I was actually doing, reading something, and I yelled, whoa, because the maple trees right at, you know, that we have for street trees, they were really whipping last night. It was really kind of amazing. And so gusty winds today, too, is still going on. And rain off and on during the night. And we just had a really kind of hard downpour. I think it might be already over. It's almost like turning on a faucet and then turning it off. But gusty winds as I stepped out of my car, too. And Casilli Urns, robust marigolds still really look good. And there were some holly shrubs that had a whole lot of berries on them. And the majority of holly that have berries are the females. And they do have to have males in close proximity to pollinate them. There's celosia. There was a pile of mulch there ready to be spread. A lot of it had already been used. Historic homes and the parkway plantings in this area. And this is on Lafayette between Mississippi and Truman Boulevard. There were paper bark birches. There were cannas. There were ornamental grasses. There were the other things that I talked about. It was just kind of really amazing. And everything was really kind of soggy and wet, but all the leaves that had fallen from the trees, they couldn't move even with these strong winds because they were so wet from the rains that have come recently. And the east winds have really kind of helped me out, at least right now, in my own yard as far as the amount of raking and leaves that I have to bag up and then put in the landfill dumpsters in the alley, because the east winds blew a lot of the leaves that, I mean, we had a lot, probably like there was a couple areas of sidewalk and along the edge of the street that the leaves were like six inches plus deep, and the winds over the night, whew, blew them away. So, but the thing is, there's going to be some southwest winds coming, and that's going to blow them back right where they were and probably a lot more out of a Christie Park. So that's kind of the circumstance. But anyway, this was near Lafayette Square, and it's just kind of a neat area, obviously historic with all those homes and everything else. That was the nice thing that you can see when you're driving or just walking along there. And even, you know, the way with the daylight savings time almost over, that means spring forward, fall back. And so maybe it'll be a little bit lighter when I have to take my good gardening stroll, because, I mean, sometimes it's so dark. And if there wasn't any kind of street lights, I couldn't see a thing. It's difficult to see. And there was a couple of shrubs. I couldn't tell what they were, because it was so dark. But anyway, hopefully you're having a good time. And there's, like we just heard from Jake, or Scott, sorry, Scott Jekyll. But there's a Veterans Day circumstance going on today. And I'm a veteran myself of the Air Force, 69 to 73, where I was associated with the B-52s and the aerial photography they took, and spent 6 months in Guam reading aerial photography from the bombing runs we did in Vietnam. And when I was stateside, we were doing radar significant mapping and charting and things like that. So 4 years, well, only 3 years and 9 months, because I got a 3 month early out in the Air Force. But it was an experience I never, ever would have imagined before. And originally I went to tech school in Denver and then got sent to Barksdale Air Force Base, which is in Louisiana. And then my last part of last probably 18 months or so, besides the 6 months in Guam, was in March Air Force Base in Riverside. So I got to see some very unusual places, and it was really quite the experience. So being a veteran, really kind of just an amazing experience. There's no getting around it. So if you do have any questions or concerns about your plant material, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Back after these messages. I apologize to all the people who have sent me emails and everything else and phone calls. I've been lacking. There's been so many crazy things going on that has just tied me up, and so I apologize. I haven't got back in touch with you in a timely manner, but hopefully things will get straightened out internet-wise and everything else, and mentally in my head, and I'll get back and get the answers to you. And one of the questions, one of the more recent ones, is a lady had, I think, two young dogwoods, and I forget what the other tree was, and she had some deer damage, and she wanted to know what she should do about it. And just basically, if you do have some deer damage, you just want to, anything that's frayed, just cut all that stuff off, because it's just an opportunity for moisture to get in there and cause problems from a rot standpoint. So that's most important. And there are several plants that are not attractive to deer, but that does not mean they won't rub them. You know, if they, you know, some of them are just, some deer are just crazy. But some of the trees that they don't necessarily like are ginkgo trees. Let's see, American holly, paper bark birches, and and some of the shrubs, witch hazel, vitex. They don't like hawthorns either. And some of the perennials that they don't like, they don't really like the fuzzy ones at all, or let's say even the purple coneflower, which the foliage on that is kind of fuzzy. And and some of the bulbs they don't necessarily care for are alliums, crocus, snowdrops, and annuals, marigolds, and lantana, plus a bunch more. So the deer are really kind of nuts if you live in an area where the deer are problematic. Let's go over to Linda's house. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
I have a situation, I guess it's because of this crazy weather. I had a clematis. It's not a fall-blooming clematis, but it bloomed out one bloom. Is that really unusual?
Only once, or you mean just one flower?
No, one bloom. It was a special occasion, so it bloomed out one bloom, and I thought that was really pretty rare.
Now, how old is this clematis?
It's 2 years old.
Two years?
No, it bloomed beautifully in the spring, but just this past week, it bloomed out one
bloom. Oh, I see. Right. That is a little bit unusual, but that just shows you how goofy the weather is. And, you know, that bud was sitting there and said, well, I might as well go ahead and show off.
Right.
So.
And then also, one of my hybrid tea roses has new growth on the top and buds, but there's no way that they're going to bloom, you know, before I think next weekend it gets really cold in the 20s. Should I cut all that? I think I do still have some that, you know, can form the rose hips. But should I go ahead this week and cut all that off so that would it be really damaging to the rose bush if it all freezes?
Yeah, the pruning, especially on the hybrid teas, grandiflores, and floribundas versus the shrubs, they should be pruned back. And, I mean, back to like 12 to 14 inches. And, I mean, so just don't cut the top tips or anything off. And then, then they're going to need some mulch, too. About
we always mulch them.
Yeah, 6 to 8 inches of mulch, you know, over that transition point.
Yeah, we have plenty of leaves for that, for sure, in the backyard. Everybody's leaves from all the other yards. Okay, well, thank you. Enjoy the show.
Well, great. Well, thanks
for
having
me.
Yep. And now let's head over to Greg's yard. Hi, Greg.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
With knowing that it was going to rain last night, figured, well, a good time to fertilize. So I did fertilize, and the guy told me, well, I wasn't sure of the setting because I got like a commercial from a place for fertilizer. And it was 3203, 50% urea. So he said probably just set your setting at about like half of what it would go, like 15. I put it on like a 7. Did the front part, but I think, man, that's coming out too fast. And so I bumped it down to like a 4.5 to 5, and then it worked out fine. But the front that I put, probably a little bit heavy. With that rain last night, you think I'm going to be fine with it, diluting and washing in?
Yeah, I don't see it. So was this granular, I'm assuming?
It was granular.
Yeah. So
I
yeah,
did it with the rotary.
I think we had a probably adequate amount of rain. I don't know what you had, but here in the city, there was probably enough rain to take care of it. And then with the first number being nitrogen, that's only going to stay basically in the soil for a couple of days, and then it becomes a gas and heads up into the sky. So then,
yeah, it was a semi-slow release. You know, instead of like 50% urea. So
right,
I know a lot of it get in there fast, but yeah, it just kind of surprised me. I go, man, I checked it, and my setting the last time I think it was 4.5 or so, but I put on, you know, about a 7. So
right.
So wasn't a ton, but at least I caught it before I did all of it. But, but it's a real healthy yard anyway, so hopefully that'll help. Probably don't worry about it birding and doing anything right now.
Right. So I'm assuming this was a cool season lawn?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So I was going to say, if you fertilize zoysia, that wasn't so good. But
No.
Yeah. And it's really kind of, you know, it is a little bit late to be fertilizing, but, you know, I wouldn't fertilize after this point because you could force some growth. And with that cold weather coming, it could, could.
Right. I mean, it is actively growing, and a couple places said, yeah, it's a good time to do it. So it was my final fertilizing. So.
All right. Perfect.
All right. So I shouldn't worry about it then.
Nope, don't.
Very good. That's. Eases some pain then. Thank you.
Sure, my pleasure.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
And now let's head from Greg's over to Debbie's yard. Hi, Debbie.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Good morning. I have a question. We planted 2 peach trees this spring, and we just noticed on both of those peach trees that, like, the bark is kind of rubbed off. We think maybe deer got to them. So what are we supposed to do about that? Do we try to put anything on that bark, or just leave them alone?
Well, like I said about the lady that called about her dogwoods, if there's frayed, you know, bark, you know, take a scissors or a razor blade knife or something and cut any frayed stuff off, but anything else just leave alone. Sealers and everything else of days of old, they really weren't to the advantage of the plant material at all. And how low, or was this at the top of the peach trees, or where was this?
It's kind of in the middle of the trunks.
Because usually they don't, you know, go down that low, you know, as far as rubbing. So
yeah, but, I mean, they're small too. I mean, I wouldn't think either one of them are more than 6 feet tall.
Right. Yeah, so just any frayed stuff, just get rid of that and just kind of leave it alone.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
And what you can do in the future when you plant something is get some of the corrugated plastic piping and slit it and then just put it around the trunk. So that way that'll protect the trunk from any more of this stuff happening.
That's exactly what we did last night.
Okay, great.
So they're covered now.
Oh, perfect.
I just wanted to see, should we try to repair the trunks or just leave them alone?
No, just leave them alone.
Okie doke. Thank you so much.
Sure, my pleasure.
All right, bye-bye.
Yep, and 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. The gentleman who was, you know, talking about putting the fertilizer down, just keep this in mind. Excessive fertilization with nitrogen, even though, you know, part of his was urea slower release, actually can retard root growth by depleting woody plants of carbohydrates. So know that necessarily fertilizing is not going to be really to the advantage of the plant material, depending upon what kind of fertilizer it is. So you should, the nitrogen's the slow release source. Kind of split it up, which, you know, it sounded like that's what he was doing. And then also, when you get a soil test done, realize that the nitrogen, because it does become a gas after just a few days, the soil test will never indicate that there is, you know, nitrogen in your, you know, in your soil at all. But the plant material grabs it really quick and then, you know, takes advantage of that, and then the nitrogen heads up into the air, and then it comes back down when there's lightning storms. So all kinds of crazy stuff in the outdoors. Let's head over to Dan's. Hi, Dan.
How are you today?
Very good.
Great show. Hey, I want to hide my neighbor's house. I've got about a half-acre lot, and I wanted to put a couple pine trees in the back corner just so I can't see his house as well. Would you recommend a white pine, eastern pine, maybe a Colorado spruce? What would be my best alternative?
Well, it all depends on
growth and you know, large, like spread out.
Right. So I would probably, as the area, first of all, is the area well drained?
Yes, it's on a slight pitch or hill.
Okay. And so because any of these conifers really, for the most part, don't like a wet soil circumstance. That's why I was asking that. So it would be kind of the Colorado spruce is going to be probably the slower growing one. The white pine will probably be, you know, one of the faster growing ones.
Okay. And if it, you know, my soil's, it's pretty dark and rich. There's not a lot of clay in it. So should I treat the ground with some sand or rock underneath the ball?
No, not necessarily. Just make sure you dig, you know, you dig the hole 3 times the diameter of the root ball, but only about 80% is deep. So in other words, the top of the root ball is above the surrounding ground.
Oh, got it. Got it. Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate your show and have a great day.
Well, great. And just realize that, you know, I mean, it's still going to, there's going to be probably 2 or 3 years before you're going to get any kind of noticeable growth. So just, you know, be realistic on what you can expect or anticipate.
Well, that's a good follow up then. You know, pricing trees online and going to look at them in person, do you recommend 2, 3, 4 inch trunk? I know you. The price gets significantly higher,
right,
the larger the diameter. But, and I know it's better to plant small and young, but I want something, you know, a little more fulfilling sooner before I die.
Right. I mean, you could go one of these green giant arborvitae. They're pretty fast growing, but they're kind of narrow, so you'd probably need more than just 3 of them.
Okay. And that's okay, right? Plant them in a row or in a triangle or something.
Right. And probably, you know, again, it's just depending upon, you know, what you want out of them and how fast you want. Because if you put them too close together, they're going to, you know, intertwine the branches and then they're going to kill the branches off each other that are intertwined.
Totally understand. Yep, okay. I get it. I will I'll let you know how it goes.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Dan.
Have a good day. You too.
Mike Miller, KMR's Garden Hotline, back after these messages.
This is the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
As we look out our window, we look at actually on the north side of the Soldiers Memorial, but I start to see some blue skies. So it looks like the rain is over, and at least right here downtown, and blue skies. And then there's going to be an event related to the veterans at the Soldiers Memorial and with a parade, I'm assuming. And let's head over to John's yard now. Hi, John.
Hi, Mike. I'm bringing in my flowers, and do you have any suggestions about some poison or something to kill the bugs that they don't get in the house?
Just probably insecticidal soap, just spray them. And then also get some insecticidal soap. And what you need to do is, you know, you can get one that's sprayable, and then you can get a concentrate and then just mix it up and pour it around the surface of the soil. And that will help control the gnats and things along that line.
Oh, excellent. Okay. Well, thank you very much. Love your show.
Well, thanks. Yeah. And those two, I mean, the insecticidal soap is, you know, it's pretty darn effective. And it's, you know, as far as, you know, organic wise and everything else, it really is, it's good. Let's put it that way.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Sure. My pleasure. Now, there's other options and alternatives as well, but that's the one that historically I've used myself for years, probably decades. Let's go over to Dan's yard. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Mike. How you doing, buddy?
Good.
I got a couple of lilac bushes I planted about 3 years ago, side by side, and the one is doing pretty well, but the other always has curly brown leaves, is half the size, and then some scales on the bark. Should I take that bush out?
It kind of sounds like it. I mean, you can fool around with it and get it under control, but maybe it wasn't planted correctly as opposed to the other one. And because lilacs, they need an alkaline soil. So they don't want to be near anything else that, you know, like evergreens that you know, want an acidic soil.
Sure.
So, and if it's, you know, from the description you have, it just sounds like the root system never really got well established, whether it was planted a little bit, you know, at grade and it sunk a little bit and there's too much moisture around that one as opposed to the other one. But that's, it sounds like it's root system related.
I think sometimes in the summer when it was, sun was on it, I got sprinkler on it, you know, a few times.
Right.
And I don't know if that caused it to go sick or what, but all right, well, thanks. I'll dig that bush up because the other one looks real good.
Yeah, I'm surprised that you had scale on lilacs because they're really not, you know, let's say it's not one of the favorite plants for scale to be on. So that's a little surprising.
All right, well, thank you.
Sure, my pleasure. And now let's go over to Mary's yard. Hi, Mary.
Good morning. Hi. I was thinking of in the spring a crabapple tree. My neighbor's oak tree is about 30 feet away from it, so it does get not full sun. You think it'll do okay?
It's going to be leaning, you know, towards wherever the most, you know, direct light is coming. And how big is this oak tree? Does it?
Big. Yeah, Crestwood, you know, these oak trees.
Oh, yeah. So, well, it's not exactly an ideal circumstance, but it'd probably be okay. It just won't be robust. Let's put it that way.
Oh, okay. What about winterberry for that spot? It does get some, you know, it's like on a little bit of a lean from downhill.
Right.
In the spring at water.
Yeah,
it doesn't stand or anything, but it's wetter there.
Yeah, I would say that might be a better choice.
Okay. And they'll do all right in the partial sun.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yep. Winterberry and then also the serviceberry, you know. And which maybe amelanchier, maybe the winterberry is a serviceberry. And but that's a good one, too. Flowers early in the spring, white flowers, then has small red fruits on it. And then the foliage in the fall gets nice and bright and red. So, and we do have some phone lines open, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. And if you still got some daffodils and tulips and crocus and things like that, get them planted before the ground does freeze. So the ground is not frozen yet by any means. And you want to make sure that you do mulch over broadleaf evergreen root systems. The acidic, you know, material best is like, you know, for that particular type of plant would be like pine needles, cedar bark mulch and things along that line better than some of the other ones. And perennial borders, you should be mulching them with about 2 to 3 inches or perennial plant material, 2 to 3 inches, again, before the ground freezes. And as the weather gets cooler and cooler and cooler, just don't fertilize because you could really kind of force some, even though it won't be really obvious, some buds to partially open, and then they could be killed off pretty bad by the cold weather. And the hybrid roses, the rose, as I was telling the lady before or recently, that the hybrid teas, grandifloras, floribundas, 6 to 8 inches of mulch over the crown or graft. And so that's, you know, it's a pretty high pile. And it's to the advantage because that crown or graft is, let's say it's kind of weak. Let's put it that way. So, and now let's go and see. Let's head over to Rich's yard. Hi, Rich.
Mike.
Hi.
Hey, listen, I put some green giants in earlier this spring, and they did good all summer. I kept them very watered. And yesterday I noticed that the interior of the green giants have some brown foliage, and it made me nervous. And I'm wondering if that's the time of year or if I have a problem.
No, you don't have a problem. If it's the interior, that's just what you can anticipate for the most part for any of the conifers. So whether it's an arborvitae like you're talking about, whether it's a pine, whether it's a spruce, they all have a tendency to lose their needles in the middle. I have a Mugo pine, and it's a pretty old Mugo pine. It's about probably 30 years old, and I mean, every year it drops off some of the interior needles, and there's nothing you can do about it. That's just a natural habit, and it's just lack of light and things like that, and that's why the interior needles, whether it's on the arborvitae or a pine or a spruce or anything else, turn brown.
Okay, great. I put all these, you know, pines and arborvitaes in and this berm. Anything I should do over the winter for those guys, or just leave them alone?
You could do some mulch, that would be no problem with that. But beyond that, definitely don't do any fertilization at all during the wintertime.
Okay, great. Thanks so much.
Sure. And I'm assuming we're not going to have extended periods of, drought during the winter. And so you shouldn't have to do any additional watering beyond the rainfall.
Terrific.
Great. Thanks, Rich.
And, thanks, Mike.
Yep. Let's head over to John Jard. Hi, John.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I live in the woods. My front yard is actually 80% moss instead of grass, which is great because it's green. I don't have to mow it. But along the street, I have a mulch bed, and I'm trying to grow things there. And just a warning, I've got a lot of deer. They ate my coneflowers, they ate my daisies, and they're not supposed to eat that stuff. I was wondering if I tried some beauty berries. Those didn't really take. I was wondering if you thought maybe some holly bushes along the front might work.
You could certainly give them a try. Just make sure it's the holly that's, not like the inkberry, which is in the holly family, but it has a smooth leaf, and they are evergreen. But, I would kind of stay away from, when I list stuff that the deer don't really like, it's kind of like, for the most part, they don't really like it. But, if things get a little bit screwy, and they could certainly have some fun with them. Some of the perennials that they don't like sedum. They don't like the vinca minor for a ground cover. They don't like butterfly or milkweed, columbine, coreopsis.
Yeah, my milkweed won't grow because I don't get enough sun there.
Okay. So it's a kind of a shaded situation?
Very shaded, hence the moss yard instead of grass.
Oh, well, then you could try maybe helleborus or acanthus or some columbine. You might try those. Or ferns. They don't really like the ferns, like a Japanese painted fern, or there's several other types of, hardy ferns that you could you could give a try. And then if you wanted something, woody in the shade circumstance, maybe, I don't know how big you want to get something, but some of the witch hazels they seem to not like either.
All righty. Well, thank you very much.
Sure. My pleasure.
All right. Bye-bye.
And let's see. Why don't we go ahead and take a break, and we'll be back after that. And Mike Miller, KMOX Garden Hotline. See you in a few seconds.
This is the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Yes, let's head over to Walter's yard. Hi, Walter.
Hi, how you doing?
Very good.
That's good. I needed something to do for winter, and I was roaming around the yard, and I found some clematis seeds. Will they grow, and how long will it take to get them to do something?
Well, you're going to have to be very patient. So were they off of, Sweet Autumn clematis? Is that where you got the seed, or was they off a different variety?
A different variety, a spring variety.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah.
You could give them a try, but I mean, you're probably looking, let's say they do germinate, you do get them planted in the ground and they do grow. You're probably looking at, 3 to 5 years before you're going to get any flowers for the most part.
Okay. Well, that'll give me something to do in the winter and give me something to look forward to.
Yes.
All righty. Thank you very much.
Sure. My pleasure. And now let's go over to Lisa. Hi, Lisa.
Hi. How are you?
Good.
I have a question. What are the white trees that are growing right now that I see all around in Defiance? The bark is white?
And probably a paper bark birch would be my guess. Or a white birch.
A white birch.
Right.
Okay. Ian, do you know of any places that have trees at a reasonable price? because I have a lot of land that I want to put trees on.
So what kind of tree? Are you looking for specific type trees? I mean, if you want young trees, you can go to the conservation department. I mean, and they're going to basically give you trees to, you know, native or natural trees. And but I don't know if you want something that small.
Both, probably.
I didn't understand what you said.
Both.
Oh,
both. I'd like a small tree and maybe, you know, larger trees.
Well, you know, pretty much the year-round garden centers are still going to be open, and they're going to have some trees. So what part of town? What part of town do you live in?
In Defiance.
Oh, so, well, there's several nurseries out in the St. Charles County area, so you shouldn't have any problem, you know, finding some good trees.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Sure. My pleasure. And now let's head over to Mary's yard. Hi, Mary.
Mike?
Yes.
I was wondering, good morning, first of all, but would you briefly discuss putting roses to bed for the winter? And is there a problem with doing a little bit of light pruning?
Are you talking about shrub roses or are you talking about the hybrid teas? And the
both.
Both? Well, probably the shrub roses, I wouldn't really probably do any kind of pruning on those. If you want to cut a couple inches off, you can. But with the hybrid teas, you're going to cut them back down to any place between, like, let's say, hybrid teas, grandiflores, floribundas, down to about 12 to 14 inches. And then you're going to put 6 or 8 inches of mulch over the crown.
And when should you do that? Do you have to wait for a really hard freeze?
Well, not really.
Because all of my roses are blooming right now.
So, I mean, you could let them go ahead until they stop blooming, you know, until we get a cold snap. But, you know, you could go ahead and do it right now if you wanted to. Because if you go, like, to the St. Louis Rose Society, their webpage, they're going to tell you in November is the time to do it. You probably want to get it done before Thanksgiving, just in general for the overall health of the roses.
Thank you very much.
Sure. My pleasure. And let's see. Probably we probably try to squeeze another one in. So Jeff and Donald will probably talk to you after the news. But this is a time of year when your summer bulbs, you should have them pulled up, or at least I've got a bunch of mine in the garage. They're still in the pots. And, you know, I've been waiting for a rainy day or whatever, and then I was going to dump the pots and get the bulbs out. Then let them dry, let the bulbs dry, shake all the potting mix off of them, and let them dry. And then before I bring them inside, then I put them in paper bags after I label them. Because I've got a couple different varieties of cannas, a couple different varieties of various things, let's put it that way. So it's just, you know, to the advantage of the plant material, the summer bulbs, to get them in the ground. And your mums are still, I mean, I'm surprised that the mums really still look pretty darn good. It's really kind of surprising. And if you bought them, there's a house right down the street from me. They bought them in the giant bushel baskets, you know, well budded and blooming and everything else. If you bought them that way yourself, what's going to happen is if you put them in the ground or left them in the pots, they're not really going to be able to survive the wintertime, to be honest. And if you have mums that you've been growing in the ground, to know if they're going to be, you know, if they're going to be able to make it through the winter and everything else, all you need to do is look at the base, the stems where they're coming out of the ground, and there should be some small leaflets right there. And the small leaflets indicate that they're well acclimated and they should be, you know, coming back with no problem at all in the future. And your warm season lawn, your zoysia should be turning brown. I know mine is. I cut my backyard with my final cut. I still have to do the front yard because I couldn't get around to it because there were so many leaves on it. But now they've blown away. But cut it down to about any place but like 2.5 to 3 inches, and that should be adequate. But it should within the next 2 weeks or so be entirely brown, but it's not quite brown yet. But so in your cool season lawn, you, if it's still growing, actively growing, make sure that.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
But you keep cutting it because you don't want the blades to get too long because it could create a situation with a fungus. Mike Miller, KMOS Garden Hotline, back after the news.
Now, at your service. Welcome to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Thanks, Scott, and welcome. It's the tip of the trowel hour for the Garden Hotline. I'll be giving the tip of the trowel shortly, but right now you can give a call. We have some phone lines open, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120 with your ideas, questions, concerns, or comments. And by the way, thanks for having me on your show. We can discuss plant selection, cares for, ups and downs, and all arounds of annuals, bulbs, edibles, ground covers, houseplants, lawns, perennials, roses, shrubs, trees, vines, and water gardens. I'll share my thoughts, but please remember my answers, comments, and opinions is not the only garden path that has to be taken for success. It's just to give you something to consider. Across the big board, that's Drew. He answers the phone. He's producing today, and he pushes all the buttons and everything else. I do landscape consulting, which I call a walk and talk. You can go to my website, MikeMillerDesigns.com. On the homepage, there's an email and a phone number where you can reach me. And I also have a new email. I'm going to convert from my AT&T one to a new one called mmillerdesigns22@gmail.com. So it's just one of those things transitioning to something a little bit different. Tip of the trowel is a special recognition for individual, group, or situation that's made an impression on me, and it's brought to you by St. Louis Composting, 636-861-3344. Tracy and I have done this a couple times. We're not going tonight, but tonight, Saturday, and it's so clear now, this is going to be a perfect circumstance. You can join with your family and friends at the annual Fall Fire Festival. That's tonight, again, from 5:30 to 8. And it's just a great event, and it's actually at the Green Center, and that's located on Blackberry Avenue in University City, 8025 Blackberry Avenue. And what this is they have all this great stuff going on. There's live music. You can watch fire performers. There's bonfires. There's s'mores. There's professional artists that are going to be there. There's food trucks going to be there, special kids activity, and all kinds of other stuff as well. Beverages are included in the ticket price, alcoholic and non-alcoholic both. And so now the food trucks, you will purchase your food from the individual food trucks, but the drinks and everything else and the fire and the entertainment is all part of the whole ticket thing. So you can get your tickets now. They will be $15 at the door, but well worth, you know, for the couple hours of going. We were just awestruck the first time we went, and then we went a couple years in a row, and then we're not going right now as far as tonight goes, but you should go. Again, it's Saturday today from 5:30 to 8, and again, it's at the Green Center. More information if you need it, 314-725-8314, or you can go to info@thegreencenter.org with any kind of questions or anything else. And it's, like I said, it's a real unique event. And starting at 5:30, yeah, it will be dark at 5:30. And there's just so much to do. You can just, you know, or you can just enjoy. That's what it's all about. So, again, the Green Center, and it's the Fall Fire Festival tonight starting at 5:30. And again, phone number 714-725-8314 or info@thegreencenter.org. So let's take a call or two before we go to a break. Let's go to, let's go to Donald's. Hi, Donald.
Hi, Mike. How are you this morning?
Very good.
Good. I would like to know your intake on the Dusty Miller plant. Is that a perennial?
Yes.
And also, does it hold its color throughout the year?
Yeah, it's pretty much evergreen. It will stay that gray color, you know, fuzzy looking. Now, in the wintertime, it kind of looks a little bit wimpy. It doesn't look as bright and spark, you know, and let's say exciting as it does during the growing season. But, yeah, it's still there.
I see. Now, does it require a lot of sun or not? And do you fertilize it?
It needs minimum amount of fertilizer. It does. The more sun, the better. If it's not in full sun, it's not going to be nearly as robust. And it won't be as nearly as aggressive as far as spreading.
And you will have color throughout the year, pretty much, but more so in the summer.
Well, I mean, the color will still be there. It's just the leaves are not quite as rigid and standing up quite as robust as they do during the actual growing season.
I see. And it grows, it don't grow too tall, does it?
No, it doesn't. Probably individual leaves, it doesn't have any stems, let's put it that way. It's really a ground cover. It's like a carpet.
Okay, all right, then you answer. Oh, on the sedum, is it okay to break off the tops of them? You know what I'm saying? They done fell over and, you know, the purple tops done lost its color and everything. Or should I wait a little bit longer before I...
No, you can. I'm assuming, you know, this is, you know, one of the sedums that have a cluster of flowers at the top of it late in the season, like a fall-type circumstance. If the flowers are finished, you can go ahead and cut those flowers off.
All right, then. I don't have to cut it too low to the ground.
No, you don't. Because there's a clump right there at the ground, so you can cut the stem off down to the clump, but don't cut the clump.
All right. That's it.
All right.
Okay, then. All right, then. I thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Have a good day.
You
all
too.
Right, then.
And now let's head over to Jeff's yard. Hi, Jeff.
Good morning. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Quick question for you. Got a couple crab apple trees in my front yard that are absolutely beautiful when they bloom, but but come around July 4th, literally within 24 hours of cutting my grass, they're already starting to leave, and I get a lot of brown leaves on my lawn. That lack of fertilization, nitrogen, what can I do to possibly fix that?
No, there is no fixing. Certain, you know, crab apple varieties just do that. And just hopefully you don't have any upright junipers close by, because they have something called cedar apple rust. And that causes the leaves to, you know, let's say get spots on them and then drop off early too. But a lot of times it's just a variety of, you know, certain varieties will drop their leaves more so than other ones.
Perfect. Thank you for your time.
Sure. My pleasure. Mike Miller, KMOS Garden Hotline, back after these messages.
This is the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Back to the phones we go, and let's head to Jim's yard. Hi, Jim. Hello, Jim.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, all right. No, I was just wondering, is it too late to transplant a Rose of Sharon?
We're getting kind of on the cusp, so you could give it a try. I would, you know, myself probably, if you can get it done within the, you know, before Thanksgiving at least, you could do it by then. Just make sure you water it the night before you're going to dig it up. Have the new location ready to go, and you should be okay.
All right. Okay. That sounds good to me.
All right.
Thank you.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And Bye. Let's go to another Jim's. Oh. And see what's going on in his yard. Hi, Jim.
Hey, good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
Hey, what's your opinion of Milorganite?
Milorganite? You know, I think it's a really low analysis, you know, good amendment to the soil. There's no getting around it. So I don't use it myself, but historically it's been around for a long time, and many people do, and they swear by it, and I don't think you can beat it.
Okay. Hey, man, you have a good day Friday, brother, okay?
Okay. Thank you. And now let's head over to Barbara's. Hi, Barbara.
Yes, excuse me. Yes, Mike. Good morning. I have about a 6-foot Japanese maple that's probably 10, 12 years old. It's covered with Autumn Glory Clematis. Which suits me fine. Do I need to pull that off of there this fall before spring?
Yeah, it's not really to the advantage, because, you know, the density of the vines and everything else, even though they're going to lose their leaves in the wintertime, is mm-hmm. not really, not all that good for the Japanese maple. So if the Japanese maple, I'm assuming you didn't plant the clematis there. It's just, you know,
it came in
with seed.
I've got lots of Autumn Glory clematis all over the 3 acres.
Oh, do you? Okay.
So I pull it off now and cut it back to about a foot, all of the clematis. I have a lot of it. If I cut it back to about a foot, I'm okay?
Yeah. It's going to start, growing in the springtime, just like when everything else does. So it's going to be back over your Japanese maple. As long as you don't...
Well, that's okay. I was just wondering when to do it, fall or spring.
Oh, well, get it done now, because you can actually do it in this, you know, with this particular variety, because it blooms late in the season. You can do it pretty much any time you want to, up until probably mid-March. I wouldn't cut it back after that, but up to that point, you should be fine.
Okay. Do I cut Russian sage back now or spring?
You don't really even need to cut it unless you just want to.
Well, how's it going to – will it bloom again?
Yeah, it should.
Oh, okay.
And what you can do is just wait till springtime, because it is a late season bloomer. Wait till springtime, and any of the tips of the, you know, of the perennial that don't look so good, you can cut those off, or you can just do it, you know, now if you want to, but you don't need to.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure. And now let's head over to Perry's. Hi, Perry.
Hi. How are you doing today?
Very good.
I have several questions. I've planted coral bells this spring, and they did very well. And matter of fact, there's one is still blooming.
Right.
And I was wondering what I do for them over winter. And the same question for my hostas, what do I want to do for them over the winter? And when or should I cut back my monkey grass or lyrope, whatever you want to call that?
Okay.
And those are my questions.
All right. Well, with the hosta, basically the foliage is just going to, you know, turn brown and just kind of lay down on the ground. So you can cut that off.
Do I want to remove that?
Yeah, that's more of an aesthetic call. It's not really going to be to the advantage of the hosta whether you cut it off or not. So it's more or less for, you know, for your advantage. And with the monkey grass, I would probably, if you want to, I don't know if you have just individual clumps or if you have a...
Oh, it's all like a big ring around a tree.
Okay, so...
And then some individual clumps.
Yeah, so basically once they start turning, you know, let's say kind of completely brown, just make sure that you cut them, but leave about 4 to 6 inches, you know, coming up out of the ground.
Okay.
And what was it? What was the original plant?
My coral bells.
Oh,
my coral bells. They're new this year, and like I said, I have one that's even blooming today. But are they like the hostas? Do I do anything with them or cover them with leaves or mulch or anything?
Well, don't cover them. Just put mulch around them because depending upon the variety, they pretty much, I mean, they don't look all that good during the wintertime, but the foliage will stay persistent during the winter.
Oh, okay, okay. Can I put some, like, black gold on top of the hosta area? Once they die back?
Yeah, you can do that.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Sure, my pleasure. Mike Miller,
bye-bye.
KMOX Garden Hotline, back after these messages.
The voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
We had some thunder, at least over our house in our area last night. And here's a quote from Mark Twain. Thunder is good. Thunder is impressive, but it's a lightning that does the work. So in other words, it's a lightning that actually makes that nitrogen, which became up from the soil into the air, actually brings it down in the raindrops and, you know, fertilizes plants, soil, and everything else. So, but Mark Twain, I thought that was pretty interesting that he knew that thunder was okay, but it's lightning that actually does the work. And lightning... How hot is lightning? A bolt of lightning can reach up to 20,000 degrees Celsius. That's 3 times hotter than the sun's surface. Woo, that is pretty darn hot. Let's head over to Mary's yard. Hi, Mary. How are you? Hello, Mary?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I have two questions. I have a ginkgo tree that I planted as a sprout. And now it's over 20 feet tall, but the yellow leaves are coming off, but there's long tips. Can I clip those tips off that they have no leaves? They're like...
So you're saying that some of the twigs or branches or whatever didn't
get
they're any...
branches. They're branches, and they have yellow leaves down the branch, but then they grew these long, skinny tips. With no, just now in fall, with no leaves.
I would say you can do that, but I wouldn't bother with it.
Well, but they doesn't look as pretty if they're not all the way to the end. You know?
Well, that's true. So
then I have one other question for you quickly. I grew long, really long neck gourds on this tall chain link fence behind me.
Great.
And they're still bright, deep green, you know, and light green.
Right.
Do I need to take them off the fence, or what do I...
You can let them dry on, you know, on the vine, or you can cut them off and just put them in a protected location.
Yeah, okay. So those long necks, I can cut them off now that they're still really green.
Right.
Okay, I got it. That's it. Thank you so much for all you tell us.
Yeah,
okay.
And I'll tell you what, probably what I would do with the gourds is maybe cut off half of them and leave the other half on the fence and decide which you like the best as far as, you know, the drying ability and everything.
Oh, okay. That's a good idea. Okay. Thank you so much.
Sure. My pleasure.
Bye-bye.
And
bye-bye.
Let's head over to Scott's. Hi, Scott.
Hey, Mike. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I actually have a question about a ginkgo as well.
So we've had this ginkgo for maybe 5 years or so. Normally this time of the year, it would turn a beautiful yellow color.
Right.
And about a month or so ago, the leaves were still green, but they started turning brown at the tips. And that's the way they look right now. You're seeing a little bit of color change from a green to a yellow, but it's not that pretty yellow color. And almost every leaf has this brown edge to it at the tip. Is that just a sign that it didn't get enough water?
No, it's probably not water. I would say it's probably related to, you know, we did have that dry spell there. We had a lot of rain in the springtime. Then we had that dry spell in the summertime. And it could be related to that, but it's probably just related to all the different factors of Mother Nature, you know, through the summertime did that to them. But, you know, ginkgo trees are pretty much disease resistant and they don't really have insect problems or anything else. So I would say it just happens to be what happened this year.
Gotcha. So it's probably not something it's permanent damage. It's just something that it's had to deal with now and it'll be all right in the spring.
Exactly. New foliage should come out and should not, you know, reflect what happened this year.
Okay, and last question. Will those leaves fall? I guess they will, right?
Oh,
they
sure.
They haven't started to fall, but they will eventually.
Yeah, there's some ginkgo trees are just not.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Starting to drop their leaves, and so I wouldn't be too anxious about it.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Sure. Mike Miller, KM Wash Garden Hotline, back after these messages.
This is the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Yes, folks, we've got phone lines open, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. This is still, I mean, a great time to have your soil tested. And the soil testing, it's an excellent gauge of soil fertility. It's an inexpensive way to maintain good plant health and maximize productivity without polluting or anything else. So what you do, you take samples, you send it to laboratories, and they do an analysis of it. And the best time to take a soil sample, well, it could be taken in the spring or fall. And multiple sites, if it's a new site, samples taken, you know, from multiple locations, let's say in your front lawn area or in a perennial bed area, separate soil samples from separate areas. So you can find out exactly what's going on in each location, because that's extremely important. So make sure that you fill up a Ziploc bag. What you want to do is go down below any kind of root systems. You don't want any kind of stuff like that, you know, kind of going in to be tested, because it's just going to make it so that you don't get enough potentially soil available. And it's going to make a big difference on how you approach whether it is, you know, whether it's your soil pH. You think, well, my lawns need alkaline soil. No, they don't. They need an acidic soil. Not highly acidic, but they need acidic. Soil pH is 0 to 14, 7 being neutral. And above 7 means alkalinity, salty, and below 7 means vinegar. So, in other words, acidic. And your lawn wants about a 6.5. So do not put lime on your lawns unless you've had a soil test done and it indicates that your soil is too acidic to have good, successful lawn. Let's now go over to Barry's yard. Hi, Barry. Hello?
Hi, Mike. This is Barry.
Hi.
I got a question about a money tree or money plant. My daughter-in-law gave my wife one about 2 years ago for Mother's Day, and it looks like it's starting to outgrow the plant or the planter box. What do I need to do?
Probably this late, I wouldn't be doing any kind of, so it's still in the original pot?
Yes, it's indoor, and we water it like the direction said, you know.
Right.
Cubes of ice around it every 4 days or so. And it's kind of, I don't know if that's right or not, but it's kind of, the trunk's getting bigger and it's getting taller.
Right. I wouldn't worry too much about it because, it's probably won't do any really dramatic damage, but, this is not the ideal time of year to be, you know, transplanting something even into just a bigger pot. So I would just leave it in this pot, and then next year sometime mid-March or so, or even a little bit after that, get a larger pot and put in only about 1 to 2 inches bigger than the existing pot. You don't want to put it in a huge thing. So that's the best thing to do, and use potting mix, not potting soil.
Potting mix.
Right.
Okay. I was, because it's indoor, so I was just.
Right.
It's an indoor thing, and it's starting to get a little bigger, even though it's only a few years old.
Well, I mean, that's great. So you're doing everything just right. Are you fertilizing?
No, we haven't fertilized. All we've been doing is watering it.
Okay. So if you're getting adequate growth, then you don't even need, you may end up to the advantage of the plant to do some fertilizing, but I would probably go online and just check out and find out which is the best fertilizer for that particular, you know, plant, that tropical.
Okay, I appreciate it. I was getting worried because the trunk's getting, you know, it's probably twice as big as it was 2 years ago or so.
Right. But again, yeah. just don't do it as we're heading into wintertime.
All righty. I appreciate it, Mike. I listen to your show every Saturday.
Well, great. Well, thanks for having me on your show, as you well know.
thank you, Mike.
Sure, my pleasure. And
bye.
See ya. And we do have phone lines open, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Again, let's go back to the soil test, which is just, I mean, it's really important to know. And the University of Missouri Extension Service, they do the soil test, and they're not, let's say, free, but for the information that you can get, the money that you're going to pay for it is not really that extreme. And what you can do is there's actually an office in Kirkwood near the train station, so you can drop your soil sample off there. There used to be a couple other locations you could drop them off. And they may still be available, but I know that the Extension office has that, University of Missouri Extension has the office there in Kirkwood near the train station. So let's head now over to Michael's. Hi, Michael.
Good morning, Mike. A neighbor gave me some strawberry plants last year, and this year they were pretty productive, but I'm wanting to transplant them somewhere else. Can I do that? And when's a good time?
I would wait until probably, don't do it going into wintertime because they may not get their root system established well enough before we start getting, freezing into the soil, and that could do some major damage to them. So I would probably wait until, let's say, probably, again, mid-March or so, or a little bit little bit even later than that in mid-April and transplant them at that time.
Okay. Next question, can I divide up some echinaceas and black-eyed Susans, and when could I do that?
Just doing it, going, you know, this, it's just a little bit late in the season to be tearing up root systems, whether you're just digging up strawberries and, you know, you're not really tearing up the root system per se, or when you're, you know, dividing things like this. Just, we don't know what our winter is going to be like, and it could be some really major damage after all the work you've done. So just, you know, it would have been better to have done it a little bit earlier, but this late, I would, you know, you may be okay. I would just say be really cautious if you're going to do it.
Okay, I'll just wait till spring then.
Yeah.
All right, thank you so much for your help. I appreciate it.
Sure, my pleasure. And if possible, the ideal time is fall to do it because the ground is warm, then the plants get their root systems, you know, newly established and everything else. Spring, the ground is cold, and guess what? Then the new plants, before they get their root system really well established, they're facing summer. And summer is like one of the worst seasons in many ways for plant material, especially newly, you know, transplanted or newly installed plant material. So that's why you got to be really cautious about that. So let's go now to Jan Jard. Hi, Jan.
Hi, Jan. I'm Jan. Good morning, Mike.
Hi.
It's a weird Saturday morning, but love your show. Grown up on it for years. Just got a quick question. I don't know what type of hydrangea it is, but it is still blooming. And, I mean, it doesn't bloom until the fall time. And I used to, in the past, trim it down, and then it didn't really do much. So now I just kind of like let it stay and kind of die on its own during the winter. Should I continue doing that? And, I mean, it has this really pretty pink blossom on it right now.
Yeah, I would say if you've had success with, you know, taking that approach, that's perfect.
But should I break down any of the branches then in the springtime after winter's over? And
well, I mean, since it blooms late in the season, you can prune basically in this, let's say, late winter, early spring, before the new buds, you know, are set, because it's blooming late in the season. So that's going to be later on, where the spring flowering stuff is actually setting flower buds right now. They're already set.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Well, okay, because I threaten every year. I said, if you don't start blooming, I'm finding you a new home.
You mean the landfill?
No, I'm finding some innocent friend of mine that's going to find some little plant, big plant in their house.
Uh-huh.
But thank you so much, and you guys have a great weekend, okay?
Great, thanks. Mike Miller.
Thank you, Mike.
Mike Miller, KMOX Garden Hotline, back after these messages.
This is the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Yes, let's go back to the phones and head to Cindy's yard. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
I have a false aurelia. It's probably about, oh, I don't know, 3.5 feet tall. I got it several months ago, and when I first got it, it got scale. Really took a beating. Yeah. And it lost a lot of the, it was nice and full, and it lost a lot of its interior down low foliage. Is there some way to encourage that growth back? It's getting taller, but it's just, you know, it's kind of starting to look spindly.
There's really not too much you can do, to be honest.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Hi. So.
And I should not be fertilizing it now.
Definitely.
Is that right?
Yeah, definitely not. Now, did it have this? It must have had the scale on it when you bought it, because, I mean, scale it can't fly or anything, so it has to be, you know, on the plant, you know, when you got it, unless you're putting it near something that has scale, and the scale's coming off that plant onto the new plant.
Yeah, I don't know where it came from, because when I bought it, or when I first got it, I actually got it through a mail order, but it looked really healthy. It didn't have any, you know, I couldn't see anything on it. But then all of a sudden, it just sort of bloomed. I don't know if it just kind of can it lay dormant for a while and then suddenly show itself? I don't know.
Yeah, I guess so. Now, was a scale on the foliage or was it on the stems?
Mostly on the foliage.
Okay. Generally on the underside or on the top?
On the underside.
Okay. Wow. So you may not even noticed it when, especially if you got it through the mail, you just, oh, it really looks good. And, you know, if it's coming out of a production nursery or greenhouse, then it's going to look good. But you probably didn't look at, the underside of the leaf.
Maybe not. But nevertheless, I have it. It seems to have come to the worst of it, but it just, you know, it's like I said, it lost all that fullness and a lot of foliage in
right.
the process.
Yeah, that's an unfortunate
thing. Okay, well,
thing.
Thanks very much. I appreciate it.
Yep. Yeah, that's an unfortunate
okay.
thing. So.
Yeah. All right, thanks.
Sure. And now let's head over to Judy's. Hi, Judy.
Hi, Mike. I have a very, it's probably 10 feet by 10 feet a large zinnia bed that I do seeds every year. And the flowers are beautiful. But in the spring, I don't have a lot of weeds that get in this bed, but I have those green onions. They look like green onions. yeah, they're
right.
horrible.
Right.
Is there anything I can do now to prevent those?
No.
It's such a pain.
No, you really can't because they're perennials. So, in other words, they're not coming back from seed. And even a pre-emergent this time of year is not going to do anything to the advantage of getting them under control. So there's
okay.
not too much you can do. Now, when you start to see the foliage come up, what do you do?
Well, I kind of wait. I don't plant the seeds too early. So they're kind of like you could put them on a salad or something. They're
right.
about, I don't know, 8 inches tall. They're nasty.
Yeah, I mean you could get that under control if you wanted to use an herbicide, or you can
okay.
dig. You can dig them up. I mean, there's a little onion bulb at the end of those individual leaves.
Yeah. Normally, I dig them up.
Oh,
I think
you?
I'm gonna, I don't know, hire the grandkids to do it for me next spring because they are, and they're everywhere.
Oh
they're
my
just
goodness!
All over the place.
So
yeah.
I mean, it can be very invasive for sure. So
well,
once
they
get well established, and especially in a situation like what you have, where you got the zinnias and you're taking care of the zinnias, and I'm assuming you're fertilizing and everything
yes.
else, and
yeah.
the bed is a good, you know, has good soil to it, so it's a perfect environment for them. So that's why they're doing, getting
yeah.
worse and worse and worse.
It's a good environment for a vegetable garden, I think. but I'll go back to digging them up and. You know, go back to the beautiful bed before I dig them all up.
Right.
Thanks so much for your show.
Sure. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
And
bye.
Thanks, Judy, and thanks to everybody for calling in. Now, remember, you know, if you got trees, you know, in your yard or trees nearby, don't let the leaves pile up over, you know, that's not really mulch, just leaves, because the humidity factor of leaves laying on top of your lawn area can be detrimental, whether you've got a warm season lawn or whether you got a cool season lawn. So just keep that in mind. So and just watch out just in general. I'm glad we had this rain because we really needed it. And especially with this wind like this, it dries things out very, very quickly. So just kind of, you know, keep on top of things that you know, need maintenance-wise, have a tree service come out and take a look at your trees with all this wind to make sure there's not a cracked branch. What made me think of that is when I was coming from South City, I come Gravoy to get here to the station, and I thought, what is that ahead of me? And what it was is a tree, you know, growing in the parkway along Gravoy there where Gravoy becomes Tucker, becomes, you know, blah, blah, blah. But a tree got knocked over, so it was laying out in the street. I wasn't paying enough attention that, I mean, I was, but I avoided it, but it was still, you know, kind of problematic. So just, you never know when there's been cracks in branches and things like that. So just be conscious of that and just kind of keep up with everything. Your plant material is going to love it. Mike Miller, KMOX Garden Hotline. See you next week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy,
celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!